Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. A couple of great guests already. If you want to hear Shil Kapadia on with us or the great Brian Westbrook, that was 3 or 3:30, you can use the rewind function in the Odyssey app. Up to 3 days. I thought it was 20. Used to be 24 hours. You can go back up to 3 days, or you can just subscribe to the Afternoon Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Yet another excellent guest, Mike Mayock, the Believe in Birds podcast. You can hear him with Lee Stein, with Lee Mayock. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man.
Doing good, Mike.
So we started off the show today. There was a gentleman on NFL.com that had the Eagles as the fifth. He did a power rankings of remaining teams left in the playoffs, likelihood to win the Super Bowl. He had the Eagles fifth. Looking at the entire field, where in terms of likelihood to win it all, where would you put the Eagles?
Better than fifth, for sure.
Yeah, I think we all agreed on that one.
Yeah.
I just spent about 6 hours this morning and another five at least yesterday watching Detroit, because I have their game this weekend with Washington. And that Detroit is a different conversation. Their offense is just off the charts. I mean, pick your poison. Offensive line's outstanding, and the skill position guys are even better. And I love what they're doing on defense, despite the fact that they're so beat up. So in the NFC, what I would say is they've been the best team all year round, all year long. They've put through some, they've gone through adversity. I think they're the number one team right now in the NFC. I also think the Eagles are number two. And to be honest with you, talent-wise, they're as good as anybody out there. My thing with the Eagles, and we've talked about it before, is what's their identity? They're going to play really good defense. Vic Fangio has brought that talent level and production to where it needs to be. They're a run team on offense. Saquon Barkley's the best running back in the league. They've got maybe the best offensive line in all of football, but they've got to be more efficient in the pass game. And they don't have to, you know, Jalen doesn't have to be Superman, but they do have to take advantage when they get single coverage on those two great wideouts. So that's a long way of saying that in the NFC, I think it's Detroit and Philly.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I am.
So you brought up the pass game. When you look at the, you know, Nick Sirianni said that the pass game wasn't as good as they wanted it to be. Kellen Moore said the same thing as well. When you look at, I guess this past Sunday specifically, do you look at that as more of a coordinator sort of issue, or do you look at that as Jalen?
Look, it's a combination, and it usually is. If you looked at them last week in the pass game, it's not the numbers that bother me. It's not that they're 13 for 21 for a buck 30. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. He only took two sacks. But what really bothered me about the pass game, when you watch the tape, was the inefficiency of it. And, you know, they had three consecutive snaps in the second quarter in the red zone, and they went, and two of the three, Ike, were zero coverage pre-snap looks.
Mm-hmm.
And your eyes got to light up if you're a quarterback and you have the right answers from your coordinator, because you got to attack single coverage, no help, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And they literally went incompletion on it. They were confused on first down. he threw it out of bounds on purpose on second down, and then they tried a running back middle screen on third that got deflected. And I looked at those three snaps, and they kick a field goal, and I'm like, those three snaps confuse me. And then two series later, you know, they go three and out and punt the ball, sack, incompletion, scramble. And then third and four, the last series of the first half, you know, number 11 wins against press coverage really quickly on slant. And the ball comes out late, and the right side of the offensive line got pushed into Jalen. But bottom line is it should have been a first down. It should have been a completion, and they should have got points on the board before halftime. So I look at the pass game and say Jalen's got to get the ball out, and he's got to take advantage of single high coverage. And I think you're going to see a lot of it this week with the Rams. And from a coordinator perspective, they got to drill answers into his head. You know, you get zero coverage in the red zone, you ought to be scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, that's because, like you said, that's the matchups you want. You got one-on-one matchups, and nobody's guarding A.J. Brown one-on-one. I'd say it'd be hard to guard Devontae as well. So you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that's where I use the word inefficient, and it gets brought, like what game was it? Pittsburgh, I think. That was the best pass game I saw all year, and they were like 25 of 32, and I think 23 targets went to those two guys. Yeah. But they took advantage of single coverage. And sooner or later, Ike, one of these teams is going to be talented enough on defense to say, we're not going to let 26 in the run game beat us. If you're going to beat us, you're going to have to throw the ball to do it. And they'll give you single coverage on the outside, and the Eagles need to be good enough to take advantage of it.
So we saw an incredible performance from the Rams on Sunday night. And when the Eagles played the Rams, it was probably their best offensive performance overall of the season. Is the Rams team today a different team that the Eagles saw in November?
Yeah, I believe they are. And I'm a big believer in teams do get better or worse as the season went on. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for Sean McVay. And I went back and looked at some of his press conferences, went back to the Eagles week when they got spanked, you know, by the Eagles 37-20. And what he basically said was it was a humbling experience, but when you have the right people in the building, it's a growth opportunity. And I thought that was a cool way to look at it. And after that game, they won five in a row. That's why they're in the playoffs. So, you know, they're on a burner here a little bit, and they're a dangerous team.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's impressed me this year, Mike, and in part last year too, because I thought they played better the second half of the season. But his ability to get that team to play through adversity—they lost some of their best players for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. You talk about that loss and those quotes there. That to me sounds like a coach. Like for me, he used to be known just for X's and O's, right? He was like the genius guy, but now I'm starting to hear more about how he connects with his players. He's a motivator. He can inspire his team. And what he's done with this team the last couple of years has certainly put him up higher in my eyes as far as being a coach. He's more than just X's and O's now.
Yeah, I mean, half his players are older than him. He still looks like he's 11. but he's really, really good. And their GM, Les Snead, doesn't get enough credit because, you know, they went all in on that Super Bowl a few years ago. Got it. Everybody thought they were going to be awful after that. And I'm not sure Les has missed on a pick since then. And their defensive line, everybody's talking about the 9 sacks last week and everything. They got a really young, really aggressive, really physical, tough, young defensive line. And they can be a problem.
Well, the way you're talking about the game, it sounds like you're pretty impressed with the Rams. Do you think this is going to be a struggle for the Eagles on Sunday?
I think it's similar to last week. I think it's a similar conversation, except for the fact that the quarterback this week is better than the quarterback last week, and the wide receivers this week are better and more consistent than the wide receivers last week. So I keep saying that somebody's going to come along and make Philly play left-handed, make Philly beat them with the pass game, and I think Sean McVay is going to try and do that. Now, the caveat here is just like last week, Philly's a better football team. Barring turnovers or anything crazy, I think they should win this game. But here's what I would say to be aware of, okay? The Rams have enough talent to win the game, number one. Turnovers are a huge deal. Philly was +4 last week The Rams were plus two. That was the best in the playoffs last week. And lastly, I think McVay is going to try and steal a possession. You know, he's going to be aggressive on fourth down. He might fake a punt, but I think they're going to do something to try and gain an extra possession or two in this game. And I think they're dangerous. I think they're going to be really aggressive and tough. And Philly's going to have to complete some passes to the receivers in one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, that heavyweight matchup may be Coach McVay going up against Coach Fangio, right? You get these two guys scheming against each other. You look at this Eagles defense going up against that Rams offense. We're not going to have N'Kobe Dean. What type of impact do you think that has on our defense going up against this offense? And how do you like our secondary going up against Puka and Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, I mean, I think N'Kobe Dean's a big deal because – he's kind of a heart and soul guy. He's a point of attack guy. He comes downhill. He sets a tone. Those are important guys to have, especially at the linebacker position. I like Oren Burks. I did his tape coming out. I think he's an athletic guy, and he's been there all year, and I think Vic trusts him. And so I don't think there's going to be any kind of huge drop-off there. I think they'll be okay. I think the problem with those two wideouts, Nacua and Kupp, is – not only do they create separation with quickness and speed and physicality, they've got great run after catch, and they're also two of the best blocking tight ends in the league in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not tight ends, wide
ends. Yeah, right. Well,
but I've got a lot of respect for them. And, you know, Philly's got to continue to be top down. You can't let Puka Nacua run one of those sneak routes on a rail, and all of a sudden, you know, it's plus 62 and you're down 7-0. You got to be really careful with their offensive scheme, and you can't let anything over the top. And so far, Philly's been great that way.
Well, Mike, I thank you for this in that I don't want to be scared about the game, but you're somebody who is really, I think, enlightened us a little bit on the dangers of the Rams and how, you know, everybody knows who McVay is, everybody knows who Stafford is and who the receivers are, but exactly how they play and how dangerous that could be. We had Shil Kapadia on about an hour ago, and I said, how rare is it? Because I think the Eagles are going to win the game, and I think most people do, but it's so rare in the playoffs to say that one team has the head coach / quarterback advantage, but it's the other team that's going to win, especially in this point in the playoffs. So that specifically, I know it's kind of dumbing it all down, but that specifically is what makes me nervous about Sunday.
Yeah, but you know, bottom line, again, you're saying it a different way, but we're somewhat agreeing in that the Eagles' pass offense has got to be more efficient.
Yep.
And,
you know, sooner or later, whether it's this week or Detroit next week or whatever, somebody's going to make them play left-handed, and how will they react? To me, that's the bottom line for the Eagles' Super Bowl chances.
All right, Mike. Well, hopefully at this time next week, we are talking to you about the NFC Championship game with the Eagles in it. Fingers crossed on that one. We appreciate you as always. Thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah, fellas, I appreciate you guys.
All right. Yep. There's Mike. Mike seems more concerned about the Rams than anybody else we've talked to so far.
Yeah, well, he's a football guy.
Yeah. Football guys respect the opponent.
Dives in a tape.
Yep.
I like that he spent a total of 11 hours watching Lions
right.
in the last 2 days.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe him.
I totally believe him.
Yeah. But he's guys like him I like because he's obviously just obsessed with it.
Yes.
You know? And I respect that quite a bit. All right. 215-592-9494. It is Tell the Truth Thursday. Where do you have the Eagles in the hierarchy of teams most likely to win the Super Bowl that remain? I have them at 4. Ike has them at 2. Are you still at 2, buddy?
I'm still at 2.
Jack has them at 3. 215-592-9494. Kay in North Carolina. Kay, you're on WIP. What's up, Kay?
She definitely hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
You'd hear the hang up.
Yeah, because Kay is a good one. Kay was going to give me the business,
I'm sure.
You could hear
the hang up by accident.
The wrong button. She was probably, it was one of those people that mute when they're on hold. I think she was probably unmuted, and she went to unmute. So I'm sure we'll hear back from Kay. Rios in North Philly. Rios, you're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What's up, Rios?
What up, Rios?
What's going on, gentlemen? So, I think I said this before, and you know, I call because y'all talking about truth. That's all I freaking do. So, Let me. Yeah, it just is what it is.
It is what it is, bro. Yes, sir.
So, I said this. When it comes to the Eagles, never in my life did I really just sat here and felt like one of them dominant teams that I look at other teams, like how I would look at teams before, if it was the New England Patriots or just the way the Kansas City Chiefs are. I never had this feeling about the Eagles that I have now, because it ain't what I really expect. It's what I know I know their potential could go way beyond than what our eyes see at this time. With a little bit of adjustments on certain situations. But the way this team looks, and I'm going to call it, people can call me a homer, people can call me whatever they want to call me. It's all cool. I'm going to still be me. Number freaking one. I don't have no two. I don't have nothing like that. If I even was to think of for them number two, the only thing I could just say is out of respect that Kansas City Chiefs keep kicking everybody else's ass going to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing I could think. But I just can't. In me, can't even – it ain't me even just being like, I just can't say – no. I feel like they're number one. I feel like we're going to go all the way and bulldozer and win the freaking Super Bowl. When we won the Super Bowl in 17, yes, that was the underdog era. We were underdogs, and, man, that was amazing. So great in all the situations how we won. But this way of winning, I like winning by looking at a guy's – in his face, you knowing that I'm going to dominate you, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to kick your ass. If you got a problem with it, I'm going to come back and I'm going to kick your ass. If you want some more, I'm going to come back and I'm going to kick your ass. So, they're number one, man. They're number one. And that's the thing where everybody, all y'all, that's the thing where all y'all see our potential. Y'all, and I hear, you know, whatever talks or whatever it is, if it's Hurts, if it's coaching or whatever, I say this, when my eyes to certain things, Hurts, yes, definitely got to do better. I felt like, you know, maybe punching Kellen Moore in the freaking face, because I'm like, how you going to show us some under center plays? And all the under center plays that I've seen this year look like, and tell me if I'm wrong, look like it was some very good plays that worked out very freaking well for the running back as well as for the quarterback. But I'm not seeing that. I didn't see that last game. I'm not going to go too much into rest, whatever. Jalen Hurts is a freaking football player. And I know and I see what he could do on certain throws that he could do. Tell him more. Call the right place. It's between you and him right now, just to turn it up a little notch. Aggressive. Yes, aggressive. Because we ain't playing slap and tickle. We ain't trying to just beat you. We winning the Super Bowl. We don't want to win the Super Bowl. We taking it. It's tank season, man.
Take.
I don't care what anybody thinks. You look at their face, we taking it. What are you going to do? We the bully? We the thief? We the robber? We whatever you want to call us. We whatever you want to say. They just the badasses. So the freak what? Bullies, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bullies. And you know what? Bullies build character. So we're going to bully our asses, and then the rest of y'all in the league, we're going to build y'all freaking character up to try to get us next year.
I love it.
What y'all think?
Rios, I don't know that I've ever talked to somebody in my life who is built more differently than I am. You might be on the planet the exact opposite person of me. I love you, but the way that you think and the way that I think could not be more different. That is why I appreciate you, is why what is great about what we do here, because we get to talk to all sorts of different people. But I listen to you talk, and sometimes I'm like, I can't even get my head into where your brain is.
Yeah.
It is, you're a different cat.
Violence gets results.
Yes, you are a different dude.
Right, let me just say this, man.
Yes.
There's some, we, no matter how, all y'all is, you, Mike, Jack, whatever it is, we are all men. I know y'all men, because I'm not going to call the station. I'm not going to call the afternoon show. If I don't feel, if I'm, if y'all just males instead of men, I'm not going to call the station.
That's right.
I can't mess around with that.
Yep.
So, you, what I'm telling you, you do got something in you. And I'm going to tell you this, why? Just like the picture, I don't know too much of you, but your ass, polar plunge, your ass is some water. For reasons why. Whatever it is, for your health or for to help benefit people, because you freaking care. So there's something there. I'm not going to even let people. I don't like people talking negative. Well, I'm not saying you're talking negative to yourself, but you got some because you're a man. And sometimes, you know what? The thing about me is not that I'm just better than you. Maybe I've just been sometimes in situations at a younger age, or maybe because of combat, that I was put in situations that I had no other choice but to flip a switch. And think about this.
Oh, it's definitely
you get
because
a veteran to go through all this stuff. Think about it. You get a veteran to go through all this stuff, all this training, go through combat, but then just to be thrown back out on the street when they're not in the military no more to turn that stuff off? How?
It's hard to do.
I'm going to just leave that there, man. I love y'all, man.
All right, Rios. Love you, buddy. I look forward to hearing you tomorrow.
Rios is at that level on Thursday. So he could be like on Friday. Kay in North Carolina. Kay, you're on WIP.
No, not
how
twice.
You doing, Fallon?
Oh, there it is. What's up, Kay?
Did I sound like Justin? How you doing, Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
There it is.
Let me give a shout out to Justin because he gave me a shout out the last time. That's my brother from another mother in Tennessee. We both like the bird. That's what I'm talking about. But I told Jack I was not going to rip you today, so I'm going to try.
Okay.
I am. Because my first memory of being an Eagles fan was in 1990. And I started listening to sports radio to Ike and Johnny Marks and Ben. So I'm kind of new to sports radio.
Okay.
But I've been listening on a regular basis for a while. So the best quarterback who ever played football, from my knowledge, from what I've been hearing, is Tom Brady. Am I correct, Tom Brady?
Yep.
You know, he's the best quarterback.
Yep.
Every time Tom Brady opens his mouth about RQB1, he says nothing but positive things because he's a good quarterback. Peyton Manning, same thing. He opens his mouth and he says nothing but good things about Jalen Hurts' play. Every time I turn on his radio station, I hear people like you and people like Joe Giglio always saying something crazy about this quarterback when other professional quarterbacks who've done his job do nothing but praise him. So I'm just confused as to, you know, where the dilemma lies at. When it comes to QB1,
well,
you know, I'm not the one that says, you know, people are talking in code, but you got to give that man some type of respect. Like he said, is this what y'all was looking for? He can do it.
Oh, it's one good game this year. Hey, Kay, first of all, Tom Brady kisses every quarterback's ass because he hasn't been doing that job long enough to, and he might be an owner at some point. All that guy is looking for is thinking about the next 10 years of his career and what he might do, so he doesn't want to get in trouble with anyone.
He ripped Baker Mayfield, but that was because Baker Mayfield ripped him.
Ripped him, right. If you want me to go through and find former professional football players who think, we just had Brian Westbrook on an hour ago, who said, he didn't play well on Sunday, and he needs to play better, and if he doesn't play better, they're not going to win. So, and if you want me to go and find former NFL players who say that they're not impressed with him, I could do that. But this is about my opinion. So that's what my opinion is. So congratulations to Tom Brady for saying that positive things to say about Jalen. And Jalen does do positive things. He absolutely does. But my concern is that the things, there's not enough positive things, and specifically the things with passing the football, it's not good enough. And that's my concern. So I respect Tom Brady, obviously, Peyton Manning, obviously, but there are plenty of former quarterbacks who have criticized how Jalen plays.
All right. I get that. Totally get it. I totally get your point. What did you tell Ike earlier? I believe that you believe that. So I believe that you believe that. That's me being positive. So, but on the flip, he wins. And
there
when he wins, he does what they are asking him to do. You can't ask this man to go to his job and his bosses say, hey, I need you to do this today. You'd be like, nah, I'm not doing that today.
Why do you think they're asking him to throw the ball so much less than they did early in the season?
Because that's how this team is built.
But no, it's not how it's built. It's not how it's built. But that's not true, though. That's not true. If the team was built to throw the ball 17 times a game, do you think they would have spent $60 million a year on two separate wide receivers?
Yeah.
Oh, you're crazy, Kay.
If No, because if they shut down Saquon, we got both our two wideouts. If they shut down our two wideouts, now we got Saquon. So, yes, we needed this whole all-around thing, because even when Eichenden was playing, what were we missing?
Wide receivers?
I mean, the only good receiver I can remember is T.O.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else. I was pretty young then.
Yeah.
But what were
former
missing?
Teammates.
We were maybe missing one more good receiver. We have two good ones now. And that's, again, like you said, that's your opinion, and this is mine. But that is where a lot of our dilemma comes at with you, Spike, because it's like...
If the receivers are so good, he should throw to them. They targeted A.J. Brown, who is one of the three best wide receivers in football, had three targets, one catch for 10 yards on Sunday. I want you to go through, between now and the next time you call, find out the last time that Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase were targeted three times for one catch in a football game. That's what I want you to do. And you know what? That game on Sunday was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So it's not like we were beating the Packers senseless. So you can't go, well, we were blowing them out. It worked. It was a one-score game. We got four turnovers, and it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So we have two great wide receivers. It would be nice to throw to them.
And you got 4 hours. Let me get this last point out, and
okay.
Then I'm going to roll out.
Okay.
What other team in this league has won games by sheer 1 point? One point. What other team? And nobody is hounding on them the way they're hounding on my Eagles.
Well, sure
and
they
that
are.
Is the, no, they're not. I don't hear anybody talking about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because you're listening to Philly sports radio.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the Eagles last year.
All right.
The same way we skated through, it's the same way the Chiefs skated through this year.
No.
And we will find out.
Okay.
Who's going to be in New Orleans?
All right, Kay.
All right.
Great call, Kay.
Kay is one of my favorites. All right,
he is.
Kay. Find
take your crap.
That mute button next time. Make sure you got the right button. That's all I want. All right, 215-592-9494. It's Tell the Truth Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit about Kellen Moore next. I think we should, because the guy's got three head coach interviews in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Seems like poorly timed, you know, all things considered.
Yeah, so, we're going to be looking at him Sunday to make sure he's locked in.
Yep. So on Tell the Truth Thursday, we want to know where you think the Eagles are in the hierarchy of remaining teams to win the Super Bowl, and you have to be honest. Can't just be chest thumping. Only Rios is allowed to do that. And he was being honest anyway. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on a Tell the Truth Thursday. I'm going to tell you the truth right here. Truth is that Kellen Moore, in the next 3 days, it looks like, will interview for three head coaching jobs in the same week that the Eagles are going to play the LA Rams in the divisional playoff game. So he's going to interview for the Saints job on Saturday. He's going to interview for the Jags job tomorrow, I think. And then the Cowboys job, it looks like if they can't fit it in now, it'll be next week at some point, but potentially the Cowboys job as well. Dude, I know he's got to take the interviews. Right? The guy wants to be a head coach.
Yes.
He's got to take the interviews. But I just, three in 2 days potentially, as you're leading up to this giant game, where, by the way, if there's one side of the ball that we have more questions about, it's certainly not the defense, it's his side of the ball. I just wonder how you compartmentalize it, because an interview like this, I would imagine, clearly I've never interviewed to be the head coach of a football team, but I would imagine...
But you did run this station.
I did run this station, as Jack reminded you, and I didn't remind you. But I would imagine if you're going for a job interview, any job interview, you want to know something about the job that you're interviewing for. So he's got to do some studying of the Saints and the Cowboys and the Jags.
Yes.
I just wonder how you fit all of that in that short of a time period.
It can't be easy. It can't be easy, you know, and what do? You know, I can understand doing one a week. You know, maybe two if you did one early in the week. Like, if you did one on Tuesday, if you interviewed on Tuesday on your day off, right, that's one. And coaches never really have a day off. They're always over there in the building.
But at least the players aren't
Tuesday,
practicing.
The players aren't there, right? You're not practicing. And if you did one, say, Saturday when all the preparation has been done and now you can do it on Saturday, right, I can understand that. But 3 in 1 week and potentially, was it 2 on 1 day? It's supposed to be 2 Saturday?
It could be, yeah.
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 That's a lot, man. That's 3 interviews in 1 week is a lot. It's not one interview. I wouldn't say a word if it was just one. I swear I wouldn't have said anything. And even when I saw 3, I'm like, how do you do 3 interviews for 3 different teams?
To be honest with you, even if I was interviewing for 3 radio jobs, program director yeah. jobs, and I had nothing else going on, I feel like I would have a hard time preparing.
Yeah, you would still try to spread them out. You wouldn't prefer to do 3 in 1 week.
No. Just from a preparation standpoint, I don't know that I could prepare. And the fact that he has to prepare not only his side, but he has to... The Rams are playing well. They're in it.
Yeah.
It's not like they just played them last Sunday or something where it's fresh in your mind. I don't know what the solution to this is. And I don't blame him for taking head coach interviews, but it is very difficult for me to just think on a human level how you can be as dialed in to this thing as you need to be if you have to be dialed into those things as well.
Well, here's a good thing, I guess. He doesn't have to do it all himself. There are other coaches on the staff,
yep.
right, that could put together the game plan and the fact that they played him already once. So I don't know who it was. It might have been Shannon Sharp that said this. He said, when you play a team and you win, how much are you really going to change and deviate from what you did that was successful? So the team that lost the first game usually has the advantage because you don't know what I'll change from what we did the first time. You may change some things, the winning team, but you're not going to change your game plan. Meaning, I think Saquon is still going to be the focus come Sunday. I personally don't think he's taking what is it, New Orleans?
Jacksonville, Dallas.
There's no way he's taking that Jacksonville job. Or he might. Well, I wouldn't do it. Feels like Dallas to me.
Yeah.
Feels like Jerry Jones, because this is a Jerry Jones thing all the way. You weaken the Eagles, presumably, by taking their OC away, and I get to hire the type of head coach that I can push around and sort of – Kellen Moore is not going to mind Jerry Jones continuing to be Jerry Jones.
Right.
Kellen Moore is just going to coach the team.
Right. That's all he wants to
yeah.
do. Yeah.
Now, Ed Werder did report today that Jerry's enamored with the idea of Deion.
Yeah, it sounds good because it's a talking point.
Yeah.
I think Jerry Jones just likes to be talked about, dude.
Yep. Yeah, I think so, too.
Unless he's thinking hire Deion and then, like, Witten's the OC. He seems to want Witten in the building somewhere.
Yep.
Even with Kellen Moore.
Well, first of all, you just can't put Witten on Deion's staff.
True. Deion's going to want his own thing.
Deion's going to want his own coaches when he comes in there, right? Like, so that could be the first conflict right there between Jerry and Deion. And Witten, that's somebody like with Kellen Moore, you can be like, yeah, you got to take Jason too. Yeah, you got to take Jason Witten. You got to make him, I don't know. I think the Deion thing is that Jerry likes to be a topic on ESPN when he wakes up in the morning.
Yep.
They're talking about him. I don't see it. I don't see the Deion. I would be surprised. I'd be happy Deion's coaching, but I don't see those two personalities equaling a winning formula.
Now, Jack, when you found out I was coming back, how many job interviews did you go on in the next few days to try to get out of here?
Absolutely none.
Okay.
Also, not much interest.
Now, one guy who seems very unhappy that the Cowboys did not re-sign Mike McCarthy is Micah Parsons. Here's what he had to say about it.
Obviously very sad because the relationships, you know, we had with Coach McCarthy and everything he's done for our program, 3 straight 12-5 seasons, playoff appearances, and obviously an unfortunate year due to injuries and things like that. But it is devastating. You know, Coach Mike's a great father. Coach, one of the most winningest coaches, and you know he's always been good to us as a unit, us to coaches, players. So you know, losing a great coach like Mike hurts, but it's going to be very interesting off seasons. You know, it's going to be very interesting. You know, due to the free agents, the coaching, it's like you know it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging off season. But listen, I already know. I trust my owner. I trust our GM.
You know, that is the first time I've ever heard a player say that it was devastating that a coach got fired.
I mean, a little over the top.
That is wild.
Yeah, a little over the top.
Yeah.
You got to come to expect that with Micah.
Yes.
Nowadays. Like,
guys looking for clicks.
Yeah. Devastating.
Well, he's trying to show support, and it's like, dude, you went over the top with the support.
Devastating,
devastating, really? By the way, remember Mike McCarthy lied to Jerry Jones about watching film?
Yeah. Jerry's like, he watched every
play. Well, and then admitted that he lied at the press conference.
Yeah, right. I just can't believe there's still a market for Mike McCarthy. Like, he's Mike at the Bears job?
I think he is going to get the Bears
job. Ike mentioned this the other day. I don't know that there are enough qualified candidates at this point. And sometimes you just want somebody who's going to come in and, like, they're competent. Like,
and a lot of these guys, hot 1 year, cold the next.
Right.
Who's the guy that was in Houston? That's in Houston. OC. Bobby Slowick.
Oh, Slowick, yep.
Yeah, why isn't he on the interview train this year?
He might be the favorite for the Jets, apparently.
Oh, is
really?
He?
Yeah. Well, remember how hot a...
How many people have the Jets
interviewed? Dude, the Jets interviewed... They interviewed Mike Locksley, who went 5-7 in Maryland this year for the head coaching job. Like, it's crazy.
And they hold on, they took Rex Ryan out the hunt?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's been talking too much.
Yep. What about Rob Ryan?
Yeah. Yeah, he talks about it on TV too much. Can't do that. Big Mike and Drexel Hill, you're on WIP. What's up, Big Mike?
Yo, what's up?
What up?
Take you off speed.
The thing is, with the callers defending Hurts, it's driving me insane, is, like, how many times were Brown and Smith open this past weekend? Like, there was hardly any wide receivers open during the game, right? So it's not because they're not capable of running routes and getting themselves open. I think it's because they're dumbing down the offense for Hurts. Like, you watch some of these other quarterbacks step in, and it just looks totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, Dan. Yeah. I'm not trying to be flippant. It's just like the offense has been pretty simple with every different offensive coordinator. And with, you know, last year we didn't have this advantage because Brian Johnson hadn't been an OC somewhere. Mm-hmm. But Kellen Moore's been an OC. And the offenses in Dallas and San Diego didn't look like this. Yep. So it has to be because of Hurts. And we've heard it a number of times. Look, Brian Baldinger, when he was on, I think this was a month ago, he's like, look, I could write out the number of plays we have right now, you know, the seven plays, and the number of even other teams and analysts who say the offense is very, very simple. And I can't figure out what reason it would be if it isn't for Jalen, you know, like it has to be.
Yeah, and like also, if I'm Kellen, dude, I'm like kneecapping Hurts if I don't get a head coach position somewhere because, like,
imagine that story.
For real though, like, dude, this guy's had to dumb down his whole offense all year, and basically, like, what kind of look are other teams getting considering him if he's just running the ball the whole game? Like, how dynamic and creative is that? Like, oh, yeah, this guy runs a really tight offense, and it's just, all right, hand the ball off to the best player in the league.
Yeah, I think the advantage for, or not advantage, but that I don't think other teams aren't aware. I think the good thing for Kellen Moore is that in the situation you're mentioning, is those teams must be aware of what he has to do. And when he gets into that interview, there is no doubt that they will ask him exactly, hey, what's going on there?
Well, and the Cowboys know what he's capable of.
Right.
Yeah, they know he's
been
there.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of interested, like, when he leaves, or, like, if he is, like, if he speaks out and says, like, oh, this guy really, you know, he's not it.
No, he won't do that.
Yeah, he won't do that.
Nah. Might need another job at some point, so you never know.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think is going to happen on Sunday, Mike?
I think we win. I think 27-21. I think you're going to miss an extra point in there somewhere.
I love that. Thank you for the call, Big Mike. I like that we're just predicting missed
Jake
extra
Elliott
points now.
Extra points,
poor guy.
Some are calling him Missy Elliott.
Oh, wow.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Missy Elliott.
You know, Jack, you know, with two young kids, must be hard to get prepared dinners.
Yeah, it sure is.
How do you take care of that?
Oh, HelloFresh. Oh, okay. Everyone knows that. Yeah. HelloFresh, that's where they come in. You know, you always want to sit down and have a nice home-cooked meal. HelloFresh takes care of all of that. Quick and easy options every week so you can find the perfect recipe to get a homemade meal on the table in as little as 15 minutes. Tons of delicious recipes every week, like crispy Parmesan herb-crusted salmon and zesty ginger chicken and rice bowls. All you need to whip up a nutritious homemade meal is pre-portioned and delivered right to your door. HelloFresh, homemade, made easy. Learn more at HelloFresh.com.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google five-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at Mark's-Jewelers.com. Where would you rank the Eagles among the remaining teams left in the NFL playoffs? First or second, third or fourth, fifth or sixth, seventh or eighth. 51.8% say first or second, and 43.5% say
holding
third
steady.
Or fourth. Yeah, holding steady there. 215-592-9494. It's Tell the Truth Thursday. Big V in Mount Laurel. You're on WIP. What's up, Big V?
Yo, what's going on, Spike? How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Good. Ike, how are you?
What's up, Big V? I'm good, brother.
And all right, and a new dad. Man, congratulations, Jackie.
Thanks, brother. Father of the year.
Hmm. Father of the 2-3 minutes?
Century.
Okay. Okay, tell the truth. My ranking, I got the Eagles number one.
Hmm. Of course. Who do you have number two?
I got the Mahomes and Big Red.
Okay. And what's three?
I've got Buffalo.
Okay. So Detroit's not even top three. Best record in the league, home field advantage, not even top three.
No, I think Detroit is suspect. They've been skating through a few things. It's not like it's been like all their games have been like total blowouts or even convinced me. I think they matched the level of their opponents very well. But I think once they get into the other teams that are same record or same strengths or better strengths, you're going to see the real Detroit.
The real Detroit. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. They had the best record in the league this year. It feels like it's fair to say that the real Detroit is pretty good. You know, okay, and as far as skating through, I'm looking right now, I think this is the case, they actually have the biggest point differential in the league in that they've scored 222 points more than their opponents, which is more than any other team in the NFL. So,
oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, good for them, but I still got them number three.
Okay.
But anyway.
All right.
But, yeah, but I think that the Eagles are definitely number one. I think we're going all the way. I think it's the start of the Philadelphia dynasty.
Oh.
Like just the Eagles or all the teams?
Well.
Go ahead, Ike.
I just want to see if I could ever mix in
one Phillies championship in there somewhere. Hey, yeah. We can.
No, the Eagles right now.
Okay.
In terms of
dynasty. I thought we were incorporating the whole city. I didn't think if it was an Eagles.
Well, we
dynasty.
Know two teams aren't winning a championship anytime soon.
Definitely.
Phillies and Flyers.
Yes.
Yeah, Sixers are right in the doorstep.
Okay, let me clear it up. Definitely the Eagles dynasty.
Okay.
I think that Howie's prepared for the next step for next year, his next acquisitions, and probably his next coaching shift. I think that, you know, Jeffrey's pulling out that checkbook to make that happen, and I think that, you know, we're going to just build upon this and just keep going.
Yeah. All right. It's amazing.
All right, Big V. I would love a dynasty. Thank you for the call, Big V.
You got to get one first.
Yeah, I don't think Big V knows what Tell the Truth means. And then the second thing is, Tell the Truth Thursday, is we're going to have to get a handle on the how you doing.
Yeah, see, I knew that was where you were going to go.
I was wondering when you were going to reel everybody back in.
It's driving me crazy. He did three of them.
All three, yeah. Now, that does take up a good amount of time on the show.
This is to get you more time, the caller. I just...
We're doing fine.
Yeah. Justin, Tennessee, you're on WIV. What's up, Justin?
What's happening, fellas? How we doing today?
See?
What's up, feller?
What's up, Justin?
Man, I know you're going to come to me when you said that. I'm like, yep, I'm it.
Yeah.
I know it in my heart. I did. So it's Tell the Truth Thursday.
Yes.
I'm going to put the Chiefs number one.
Okay.
I am. But I will put the Eagles number two. I think right now Detroit's defense is so daggone beat up. Now, granted, I mean, they if they win, they've got the home field advantage, and it's going to be tough going up there in that daggum dome. I know it is, but I still – defense travels. And it's like Rio said earlier, our defense ain't nothing but like a bunch of bullies, like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. Like Jordan Davis, I know y'all have seen like the longest yard remake. The big defensive end, Bob Sapp, he was all goofy and laughing and everything, but like when it come game time – that dude, he, like in the movie, he turned into a beast. That's how I picture Jordan Davis, just all laughing and jolly and happy and stuff like that. And then when it's game time, like he's eating up blocks, he's taking on two guys and letting other guys run free, like Zach Bond and Jacoby, stuff like that. That's how I picture Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
I think Detroit's three, and then it's a toss-up between Baltimore and Buffalo at four, and we'll find out Sunday night who that is.
That's going to be an exciting game.
That's going to be a great game Sunday night.
It is. It really is. And what about, now, my second point, what about Miss Kay showing up with a can of Carolina kick-ass for you today, Spike?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, son, she was on you with both feet, son.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what.
I don't think she was being honest either. Be honest with you on Tell the Truth Thursday. I think there's, yeah, I mean, this is great respect for Kay and everybody. I think we got a lot of liars actually on this show, calling this show liars.
So you know, you ain't saying some folks would rather climb a tree backward and tell you a lie, stand flat footed and tell you the truth, would you?
That is exactly what I would say.
That's a good saying, right? Yeah. There. How the hell do you climb a tree backwards?
Well, it's tough, but if you want to tell a lie bad enough, you can do it.
And it wasn't even backwards. You said backward.
I knew what you
when
meant,
you
Justin.
Move to Tennessee, you're gonna figure out how to talk. We're gonna make fun of you, Jack, when you move to Tennessee.
Well, I can't even say Bengals right or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, look at you like you got three heads down there with your accent.
Yeah.
We say
idiot.
Bengals. We don't say Bengals. But anyway. All right,
and you are the only one that struggles with that.
Dude, because everyone
else struggles with that.
And I can't apparently say Herb and Herb.
That's Wait. True. You did say Herb the other day.
Wait, what?
Well, because part of the read that I have, it says Herb, and I keep thinking about Herb.
And you say Herb instead of Herbs?
Yeah. Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, you don't want somebody to order HelloFresh and get Herb in the mail.
What if they did, though?
What a disaster.
No, I think that'd be a good outcome.
Guy's going to show up with his threesome partners?
Oh, God.
I just wanted dinner.
He will bring German chocolate cake, though.
He will. He'll bring dessert.
Okay. My final point before this really goes off the rails.
Yes. Get us back.
I love, me and my son absolutely love all the Gilly videos. And watching him come out with the team and dancing at midfield last week, that was awesome. But I know people at NovaCare are listening to WIP. They have to be. Because there's too much stuff goes along. So if y'all are listening, could y'all please listen to Rios tomorrow? And let's get that man in there to get this team fired up, to stomp a mud hole in the Rams' ass and walk that sumbitch dry. I mean, I'm telling you, when he talks, I just want to come unglued, man. I'm telling you, that is the most fired up, focused, and prepared human being ever. And it just seeps through. I'm telling y'all. Ike, you have to tell him. Like, if Gilly can get out there and do his thing.
I know, right? I tried to tell Big Dom, like, hey, man, you got to get Rios in there.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, could you imagine, like, if Rios, once he got going, he'd climb up on Jordan Mailata like a little spider monkey, and he'd be standing on his shoulders, and then you'd have Landon Dickerson just beating somebody's eyes shut like he was mad at him. I mean, and you know, when y'all seen that daggone video of Landon Dickerson talking about violence, you know Landon Dickerson has heard.
He's heard Rios, yes. Yes.
He has heard it. So please, y'all, if y'all can let Gilly's awesome. I absolutely love him. He's hilarious. Phenomenal content. Get Rios in that daggone locker room. Get these boys fired up to whoop some ice come Sunday. I'm going to calm down a little bit because it's just Thursday. But I'm going to get off here and let you go. Love you, boys. Man.
All right, Justin. Thank you. You know, I just got to.
I don't want to be responsible for what happens with Rios if he's in there.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah,
he may go over the top.
Yes.
You can't. We can dump Rios on the radio. You can't dump him if he's in the locker room. You know, because
he might bring props with
yes.
him. Like, yeah,
bring the bulletproof vest, like in the Instagram videos.
Yes,
just we really screwed up here. Just got a text from Izzo, a good friend at WFAN. He's like, why is Honest Jack not on Tell the Truth Thursday?
Oh.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Because Jack's trying to suppress Honest Jack. Jack.
Yeah, yeah, there is a war going on between Liar Jack and Honest Jack.
Yeah, it's a new Terminator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, top five of five. I would have loved to have an Honest Jack top five of five. But what does regular Jack have for top five of five coming up?
I'm just letting you know.
Oh, boy.
It's going to be a good one. All right.
Okay.
Not that they're not always good.
Well, some are better than others.
Some are better than... This is one of those ones that's better than others.
Really?
Because they're ranking WIP personnel, screwing up the Eagle Shant.
Oh, that's a good one.
There might be a new number one.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not me, is it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think you can even spell Eagles.
Okay. I can spell... All right. Top five of five is next. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.